Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1042. We'll be reading verses 45 through 50. We'll read these verses responsively. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 50, page 1042. And let's stand, please, for the reading of these verses. The 46th and 47th verses are the text verses. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And let's pray. And Lord, we'd ask that you would speak to us this morning. In order for us to hear thee, we must be, of course, attentive to the hearing of thy word. We pray for your blessing upon the preaching of it, the hearing of it. Please, O Spirit, we pray that thou wouldst bless with thy power in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you took all of the sermons I've preached in the 30 years, going on 30 years I've pastored here, if you just decided to, every phrase that I use many times, decide what I've said the most, I'll guarantee you the statement I've made the most in these almost 30 years has been this: I don't know any better news. And this, God loves you. I don't know any better news than that. I said the other day at the funeral of Brother Ray Hart, I preached his funeral sermon, and I used the scripture about the simplicity that is in Christ. And what a simple, sweet kind of a love Brother Hart had. And how that he, when he became an adult, he did not lose his hold on childhood. And how great thou art, and Jesus loves me, this I know, held equal place in his repertoire. And I'd use this illustration about a great theologian who was asked on his deathbed, of all the great truths that you have learned, of all the great theological discoveries that you have made, what is the greatest truth theologically you've ever learned? And the old man began to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Greatest truth you'll ever learn: God loves you. He loves you this morning. I want to speak this morning on the subject. You don't have to tell me why. Just tell me there is a why. You don't have to tell me why. Just tell me there is a why. I'm going to bring a testimony kind of message this morning. I hope you'll listen carefully as I speak. Father, once again, the same preacher comes before the same people, except we have needs different, unique to today. Meet our needs this morning. Bless the preacher as he preaches and the people as they hear. May holy praise and thanksgiving and worship and adoration leave us toward heaven today as we realize about the love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. And as we praise you because it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take a few minutes this morning and tell you something that God did for me I'm not going to preach a sermon as such this morning, but I want to relay a little conversation that God and I had just a few days ago. I think it will encourage your heart. I did not hear the voice of God audibly, but I knew that God was speaking to me just as really as if I had heard His voice audibly. I want to tell you about a little revival I had in a motel room where I spend much of my time, not the same motel room, but all across this nation. I have spent literally thousands of nights and tens of thousands of hours alone in motel rooms. I want to tell you about a little revival I had just a few days ago. I don't know why I shouldn't do this, but I was asking God why. And I felt, I just saying, God, why? And I wasn't complaining to God, just griping a little bit. But I really wasn't. And I wasn't in a feeling of self-pity. I just was asking God why about some things. And suddenly, I felt condemned because of it. I said to God, Lord, I'm sorry that I doubted you. I was just sitting there in a motel, had my Bible open. I'd been reading the Bible and had it open. And I've been reading the book of Matthew. And all of a sudden, my mind got to wondering, you know how you're doing. I got to thinking, I wonder why. Why did this happen to me, you know? And why is this like it is? I just said, Lord, why? And I asked Him several times, why? And then all of a sudden, I felt so condemned. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I doubted you. And then suddenly I looked at my Bible. It was open to Matthew 27. And there was one verse marked, verse 46. And there was one word underlined in that verse 46. The verse 46 includes that statement our Savior made on the cross when He said, My God, my God. Why? And I got to thinking. And I never had thought about that before. Jesus asked why. I mean, and I don't know. I never thought about it. I knew that verse, but I never had emphasized the why. My God, my God, why? This is deity talking to deity. This is God incarnate talking to the Creator. This is God the Son talking to God the Father. This is God in flesh talking to God in heaven. And even Jesus looked up and said, my God, why? Suddenly, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And it dawned on me that even Jesus asked why. Didn't that put you in good company this morning? I mean, a heap of things in your life, and you wondered, why did this happen? I said to God in the motel room, I said, God, I am not your best preacher, but you don't have a preacher more sincere than I am. I'll bind you. You don't. You don't. You have better preachers than I, and you have better Christians than I, but you don't have one preacher in this world more sincere than I am. And I won't tell you, the crown of my head, the sole of my feet, you're looking at one sincere man this morning. I said, God, why? And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, even my Savior asked why. And I looked at it and read it, my God, why? I looked at it again. Jesus asked why. And here's what He told me. I want to give you three things that God told me just as really as if He had spoken audibly. He said to me, one, son, why implies faith, not doubt. I was asking God to forgive me for doubting Him. And God said to me, my son asks why. But you ask why to the person you think knows the answer. And I had a spell
in my motel room.
Jesus said, you're not doubting me. He said, you're having faith in me. You're believing me. You didn't go to the psychologist to find out why. You didn't go to the psychiatrist to find out why. You didn't go to human reasoning to find out why. You went to God to find out why. And he said, that implies faith, not doubt. He said to me, you believe, I know the answer. And I said, that's right. I really do. Now, what is it? You see, I mean, look, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that it always is fresh. How many times have I preached on the seven sayings of Christ from the cross? How many times have I quoted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, and told how he dipped his own soul into hell and paid the price for me? But never in all of my Bible study, in 41 years of preaching and 50 years or more of being a child of God, never one time have I ever thought Jesus went to the Father and simply asked, why? And I got thinking. Jesus said, you believe. I know the answer. And I said, I do believe you know the answer. And he said, all right, do you have to know? And I said, no, I don't have to know. Are you just sure you know? You see, if there, I don't need to know the why, I just need to know that there is a why. I mean, if God is sure there's a why for what happens to me, that's all I need to know. As long as there is a why, then what I do, or what I endure, or what I suffer, is not in vain, because there is a why. God said to me, my son, why implies faith, not doubt. I remember years ago, one of the most tragic things I've ever seen in my life. I picked up the phone, pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I was just a kid preacher, still in my 20s. A dear lady in our church said, Brother Howells, come quickly. Come quickly, it's my husband, it's my husband. And then I heard a shot. And the phone, a scream, and the phone was on the floor. I got in the car and drove about 2 miles to where their house was. Drove up to the front of the house. I walked inside. She met me at the door. She said, there he is. Her husband had killed himself. I heard the shot while I was talking to her on the telephone. Little children standing, and there he was on the bed, and literally, he had blown his brains out. Literally, I saw some of his brains lying beside him on the bed. I mean, I'd never seen that in my life before. That's something I'd never see, Brother Roy. Never worry about seeing any of your brains. But anyway, there his brains were on the bed, and little children, and a young wife looking at the corpse of the husband who had just blown his brains out. And all she did was look up at me, and she said, we were all four of us looking at the body, and she said, preacher, why? She wasn't doubting me. She somehow thought the preacher would know why. I was her preacher. She had confidence in me. She thought I could tell her why. He's my God. I have confidence in him. I believe there's a why. A why? You said, with the house? Why didn't you tell you why? I don't have to know why he doesn't tell me why. As long as my God knows the why. And I sat there in that motel room, and I could not believe my eyes that was the very passage. I had not read that passage yet, and there was Matthew 27:4-6, and the word, my words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, underlined, and the word why was especially marked off, and I was asking God why, and looked down, and God said, even my son said why, and there it was, and I said, God, I'm sorry, I doubted you. He said, you're not doubting me, you're believing in me, you're coming to the right place to find out the why. Go on going to the psychologist to find out the why. Go to God to find out the why.
God doesn't tell you the why. Ask Him, there is a why. There is a why. Jump up, down, and shout and praise God and say glory to God. There's a reason for all this. I don't have to know what it is, but I know He knows what it is.
I'll never forget that day. I went by to visit a little. I thought about it. Judy and her fiancé stood a while ago. No prophecy here at all, but I thought about this couple because I knew I was going to use it in the sermon this morning. Young couple had set the wedding day. They were about a month from the wedding day. Already had the showers. Already had the attendants, all their clothes, and the bride, of course, had her gown. Everything was all ready. Flowers ordered. Cake was ordered. Everything was ordered. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, the young groom, would-be groom, was taken ill and died. The first thing I thought about was that young bride, and I went over to her house. When I walked in the house, she was standing there with a wedding gown across her arm. And she said one word. Why? 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 Now, she didn't ask anybody else why. She asked me why. Because she thought she knew Brother Howes was God's man. She had confidence in me, and that's why she asked why. So I want to say this morning, it's not he's of the house. Why did this you come to God and say, why did this happen to me? Or why do I have to go through this? Or why is this in my life? Or why did this come my way? Why? All of a sudden you feel an awful doubt and guilt because of doubt. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm doubting God. Let me say, you're not doubting God. You're having faith in God because you're going to your God to find out why. Said something else to me as I continued having my spell in that little motel room. He said, not only, son, why implies faith and not doubt, but he said, why implies humility. He said, you're Dr. Jack Hiles. You pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You pastor more people than any man in the United States pastors. You pastor more pastors than any man in the United States pastors. I expect there 10,000 preachers look to me as their pastor in America. He said, you're a pastor of thousands of people and thousands of preachers. You're their preacher. And he said, you ask him why. Don't fret when you ask why. Come to God and say to your God, why? And God said, he said, that implies faith. And not doubt, but it also implies humility. Thirdly, he said, son, you're asking me why implies not only faith, implies not only humility, but implies love. He said, what'd you do last night? I said, I preached. He said, did you know why these things have befallen you? I said, no. He said, what did you do a while ago? This morning. I said, I preached. He said, did you know why these things have befallen you? I said, no. He said, did you go ahead and preach? I said, yeah. He said, what you going to do tonight? And I said, I'm going to preach. He said, but you don't know why, do you? I know why I'm going to preach, but I don't know why. I just don't know why. I don't know why these things have befallen me. And he said, you've kept on going, haven't you? And I said, yes, I've tried to keep on going. He said, you don't know why, do you? I said, no, I don't know why. He said, I believe you love me. And I said, I do. I do. I do love you. He said, that's proof of your love. When you keep on serving me, you don't know why. I'm going to just turn in them. I'm going to quit. Somebody said, I'm just going to quit. I don't know why all this had me. I'm going to quit. Oh, listen to me. You've got the best opportunity to show your love for God you've ever had in your life. Just keep on going. Just keep on preaching. Just keep on teaching. Just keep on witnessing. Just keep on serving. He said to me, he said, this is not doubt. This is faith. He said, this is not pride. This is humility. And he said, asking me why implies love. You know who I thought of? I thought of Mike Scott.
there in that motel room, I thought of Mike Scott. Mike was married to a lovely young lady. One day she was driving out around near Joliet and Burr Street, the little intersection there, winding, curving intersection. Lost control of the car. Somebody hit her. She was killed immediately. Mike Scott came to my office, straight to my office, and sat down. I think it was on a Friday night. Pretty sure it was. And we talked about it. You know what Mike did on Saturday while his wife's body was lying in state at the funeral home? Mike went on his bus route. On his bus route. All day long. His bus kids. All day long. Soul winning. All day long. Serving God. With his wife. Lying in state. I thought about that little gal in our church I've often told you about. Who was pregnant. Her baby died in her. And she was had to give birth to a stillborn baby. The doctor told her to go to St. Margaret's Hospital on a Thursday to have a give birth to a stillborn baby. And she said, I can't go. He said, why? She said, I'm a bus captain at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I've got to go Saturday and round up my bus kids and go soul winning. And Sunday I've got to go pick up the bus kids and bring them to church and then teach my Sunday school class. And she said, Sunday afternoon I'll report to St. Margaret's Hospital and give birth to a dead baby. But she said, I've got to serve God. I'm saying, if you don't know why, that's a wonderful opportunity to say, God, you know why. I don't have to know why. You know why. God says, you love me, don't you? And I said, I love you. I do. I do. With all my heart, I do. And I had a spell. This morning, I'm talking to people all over this room. God knows the heartache in this room. I went to my bed last night. As I drove home, I cried nearly all the way home because of the heartaches I'd seen yesterday alone. There's no way for me to tell you the hurt of the people in this room this morning. There's no way for me to tell you the complications of life, the problems and burdens and heartaches of people in this room this morning. They come to me like an army. Preacher, why did this happen? And why did this happen? Preacher, tell me why. I do not know all the whys, but I know Him who knows all the whys. And that's all I have to know. That's all you have to know. Just keep on going. Oh, I'm so tired of especially college students saying to me, I want to go back home. Nothing's turned out right. In the first place, you don't know what right is. The second place, if nothing's turned out like you call right, you've got an opportunity like you've never had in your life before. You can look up to your God and say, I trust you, and I may hurt, and I may pain, and I may have burdens and troubles and heartaches, but you're my God, and that, why don't you decide who your God is once and for all? I'm not worried about me falling from grace. I'm tired of God falling from grace. You better thank God He's not like you are. Every time you don't do, God doesn't do what you think God ought to do, He falls from your grace. You spend your life doing things that God is not pleased with, but God keeps on loving you anyway! Brother, perfection can keep on loving imperfection. Imperfection ought to love perfection. If deity can love humanity, humanity ought to love deity. If sinlessness can love sinfulness, then sinfulness ought to love sinlessness. If the Creator can love the imperfect created ought to love the perfect Creator. Take God off trial. He's God. He knows the answers. He knows the whys. I said, don't tell me why. Doesn't matter. But I appreciate you reminded me of what my why meant. My why meant, have faith in you. I come to you for the answers. My why meant, I'm not proud. I admit I don't know the answers. My why meant, I love you. And I went to preach that night in an eastern state. I felt like I was on a honeymoon with Jesus. I just felt like He was almost as close as I could touch Him because He had
talked to me in a motel room that afternoon. I'm human like you are. My cheeks are moistened with tears just like yours are. My shoulders droop like yours do. My heart hurts like yours hurt. And I ask why, like you do. But you know, I'm sort of the guy at the top of the stationery. I'm the guy behind the pulpit. I'm supposed to help you find out why. You look at me and say, well, I'm encouraged, Brother House. Things happen to you, you don't know why either. I can take you farther than me. I can take you right to Calvary and point you to my Savior. And he said, my God, why? Was Jesus weak when he said why? Was Jesus doubting when he said why? Had Jesus lost his faith when he said why? No, sir. He was saying, God, Father, I know you know everything. I just want to know why. And the Father said, Son, you're trusting me, aren't you? And you're loving me, aren't you? So I come this morning to say to you, there's no need to tell me why, or to God, no need to tell me why. Just tell me there is a why. Now listen to me carefully, and I'm through. Your suffering is not in vain if there's a why. If there's a why. It may be that God is causing you to suffer because He wants to use you in some way that you cannot be used unless you're purified in the fires of God's oven. It may be that God wants to bless somebody else through you as He did through Job and let people look at you and say, I can keep going if He can keep going. It may be that's why. But you don't have to know why if you know and have faith in a God that knows why. And if there is a why, you're not suffering in vain. I've really tried through these years to know God. I've tried to be acquainted with Him. I've tried to walk with Him. I mean this when I say this. I spend literally hours and hours every week with God. I mean that. And can I ever forget the story I remind you so often? The old man, 88 years of age, who died in St. Margaret's Hospital, who'd been a member of this church for 14 years. As the last words he said before he went to heaven, grasped my hands with a trembling, weak, dying voice, said, thank you, preacher, that you've walked with God 6 days a week and come to the pulpit on Sunday to tell me what He told you during the six. Thank you. And that's honest to Pete. That's what I've done for these 30 years. I don't know Him like I will know Him. I don't know Him like I ought to know Him, but I know Him. He's real to me. And I love Him and I know Him. But I'm still absent of all the answers. I don't know all the answers. But I don't have to know all the answers. I know Him who knows all the answers. I'll have to know why. I know Him who knows why. I got up out of my chair, got my Bible, said, dear God, don't even tell me why. I don't even want to know why. Because I can love you more if I preach and don't know why. I took off to the pulpit early. Got to the church 15 minutes early. Walked in and said to the pastor, you mind if we start early tonight? He said, why? I said, because my gun is loaded. I said, you mind if we don't have any song service tonight? He said, you want to cut out the offering too? I said, just don't take this thing too far. Let me stand this morning and testify. And let me tell you, we have a great God. And that God knows exactly why everything that happens to you happens to you. And the more you're suffering this morning, the bigger opportunity you've got to show your love for Him. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. He loves you. He knows the why. I don't have to know why. If I know there is a why, and if I know the one who knows, there's a why. Morning on the way to church, and I'll finish. This morning on the way to church, as I do every morning, I drive by my mama's apartment where she lived, Every day I'm home, I drive by my mama's apartment. Every day, sometimes twice. Are you listening to me? Sometimes twice a day. I drove by my mama's apartment this morning. And I drove back and drove around again. And then I stopped out and looked at the window where her bedroom was. And I thought, I knew I was preaching on this morning. I thought, I wonder how many times the little woman used to live in there. Used to do things to me. I didn't understand why she did it. But she was always my mama. And I always trusted her. And he's my God. And I trust him. And I love him. And I don't have to know why. I'm going to keep on asking why. And the reason I ask why is because I believe he knows why. And all I have to do is have a little nod, maybe a little wink from heaven. And God says to me, hang on there, son. I can't tell you why. But I know why. And I say, God, as long as there's a why, I'm on your side. I'll serve you. And I'll love you. Now listen to me. You need God this morning. You need that kind of a God. You need the kind of a God who knows everything. You need to come to him and say, dear God, I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell, but Jesus came and suffered hell for me on the cross after having paid full God's demands of a righteous life. And dear Jesus, I take you as my Savior and trust you as my God. Get out off your pride! Get out off your self-assurance! Burn your self-esteem! Get on your face before your God. Say, dear God, I'm flesh. You're God. I'm weak. You're strong. I'm a sinner. You're perfect. I'm lost. You're a Savior. And I trust you as my Savior. The moment you do that, God will write your name in heaven, make you his child, forgive every sin, and you'll go to heaven to live forever when you die. I hope you will. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted him, we're going to sing in just a few moments. When the choir sings and we stand with the choir in a few moments, I want you to leave your seat. Come toward the aisle, down these aisles, wherever you are, in the balcony, up in the mezzanine, on the lower floor, wherever you are. Come down these aisles. Somebody will be here at the altar to tell you the greatest story you ever heard in your life. God loves you. What a song. Brother Ed sang it. You know that last stanza. Written by an insane man or by an inmate in an insane asylum. On the wall of that asylum, could we with ink the ocean fill? Where every man where every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. God loves you. And the greatest news you'll ever hear is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Shall we pray? Father, bless our...